And for our text in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Luther was terrified to die, as you well remember. And when lightning nearly got him, he was so afraid that he said, I'll dedicate my life to God and I'll go and become a monk in a monastery. That will please God. But it didn't. Neither did it do anything for him. And gradually the Lord brought him to see the only way by which he must be saved. But in the middle of all that bondage to Roman Catholicism, it was a long haul. He read the Bible through time and time again. But there was one verse, it was in Romans, that absolutely gripped him. And he thought about this verse for day after day after day after month after month. What could it mean? And it was the verse in Romans 1:17. Therein, that is, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. What is this righteousness of God that is revealed in the gospel, that a person without the gospel won't know, can't have? And that was what he was thinking of. And we can't enter into all that thinking. But when he got the answer, it transformed the religious life of the day. And it introduced the Reformation. Now, as we begin to clear the way for our thoughts this afternoon, I wonder if you would turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And verses 11 to 14. Now, in the verses previously, the Lord has promised blessings if thou shalt hearken to the voice of thy God, the Lord thy God, and keep his commandments and his statutes which are in the book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then the Lord says, this is not as difficult as it sounds. And if you will latch onto this idea that it's easy, that will help. I always try and say to people who say to me, oh, I can't really read the book of Revelation, it's hard. Well, there are undoubtedly difficulties, but the word means something being revealed to you. So obviously to go at it with the mindset that it's difficult won't help. And here the Lord is dealing with a thing that he wants us to grasp. Do you remember that the world thinks they must do great things? And it's great things to... They must do great things for God also. And do you remember they had to say to Naaman, he had such good advisors, when he was asked to just dip in the water of Jordan, he wouldn't do it. It was beneath his dignity. Got better waters back home. And they said to him, but if you'd been asked to do something difficult, something you could get your teeth into, you'd have gone about it with great joy. But that wasn't it. You were just asked to dip in the river. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is in that sense not difficult. Goes against the grain. We'd like to do something that would bring a bit more pride to ourselves, something that we'd have to accomplish, that we'd have to come to. But faith in the Lord Jesus, that's a bit simple. Now, try and get hold of the meaning of these words. The Lord is simply saying that though the Lord is spiritual and you can't see the results of it, there's nothing hard about it. And then we transfer this across to what Paul writes in Romans 10. Deuteronomy 30:11. This commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Not difficult. It's not esoteric. It's not some hidden mystery religion. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? I've given you the law, he says. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us? We can't sail. And bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Simpler than that. Just read the law. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. It's near to hand, and it's dead easy. But it goes against the natural grain. Now, this is what Paul is saying when he's clearing the way. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, it's not difficult to believe in him unless we make objections, unless we put obstacles in the way. Verse 5. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Very good. You believe that a man shouldn't steal? You be sure you don't steal. You steal once and that's the end of it. There is salvation by the law if you never, 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 never once fail it, not even before you come to consciousness about it. That's tantamount to saying it can't be done. It could be done, but it can't be done. So law won't do. Good works won't do. You see, and the ultimate thing of that, as I've often said to you, is if you aim to keep the law, you're going to turn around at the end of the day when you failed and say, Lord, I did my best. You've got to accept that. And God won't accept that. Doing our best is not good enough, but that's the best we can do. And that's precisely why the Lord is kind and gives grace. I'll give you the answer. I'll give you the help. I'll give you the way. I'll give you my Son, the Saviour. So he turns from the righteousness of the law and says, the righteousness which is of faith speaks like this. Don't say inside you, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Just the same thing as we had in Deuteronomy. It's not a long way away. You don't want someone to do something very, very difficult, though Jesus did. But say not, who shall... And he says, that's like saying, who will bring Christ down from above? He came voluntarily. The issue's a non-issue. Or, say not in your heart, who shall descend into the deep? Jesus has died. Bring him up from the dead. If he's died, that's the end of it. He can't be of any help to us. It's not like that. What does the righteousness of faith say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Paul is arguing here that it isn't difficult. To be saved is not difficult. The battle lies entirely with our sinful human nature and our wills and Satan standing against us. But there's nothing implicitly difficult in believing. And so it was that we read that Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, is our righteousness. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he says, for in it, therein, is the righteousness of God revealed. But it's all of faith. It's revealed from faith to faith. So what did Israel do wrong? For Paul was praying that they might be saved. What did they do wrong? What do all the other religions or thought systems, non-religious, secular ones, what do they all do wrong? Well, they all share this in common, or they don't believe in God at all, of course, but all who think that there is a being, a deity, think that they have to please him and earn his approval. That's the whole point of all the sacrifices in heathen religions of all sorts. They're seeking to please a deity that perhaps they don't know, or perhaps even know who it is. But there's this desire to please. Now, there's no way that way. It can't be done that way. There has to be a fresh start, if you like, a new birth. Paul says, now, naturally speaking, the Jews have a zeal of God. They're interested in the subject. They're not interested in general philosophy like the Athenians were, but they really are interested in the subject of God. They have the revelation of the Old Testament, and many of them know it quite well, and those that can't read have probably heard much of it. But all that they do, if they haven't grasped the first principle, is based on falsehood. Now, I've often told you, if you want to reread John 3 about Nicodemus, that Jesus plays with him, laughs at him. Says, are you a master in Israel? But you don't know the ABC of religion? You don't know? I'm talking about being born again as the way into the life, and you're looking at me blank. And it's the thing that happens to everybody. So you're obviously showing that you haven't even begun. You don't understand how to begin, where to begin. Nicodemus, and you're a master in Israel, a teacher. And that's the meaning of that those few verses right in the middle of his explanation of how he should be saved. But he's got to undo it. He's got it all wrong. And that's what the Jews did have. They had this knowledge, but they had no idea. They were on a wrong standing, on a wrong basis. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, how can we be sure that our foundation is right? Well, Christ clearly is the answer. So the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The Lord Jesus brings and is the gospel. But we're told a little more about the Jews. That they were ignorant of God's righteousness. That is to say, they were not ignorant of the being of God, but what his righteous requirements were. They could not bear the thought, because they didn't know the answer, that God, who is perfect, and therefore requires perfection of all who have any pretensions to live with him throughout eternity. They knew they weren't perfect. And it was a dilemma. And so they went about to do the best they could. They went about to fulfill the law, and there were penalties if they didn't. But they didn't keep every part of it. They kept the more serious parts, they thought, but left the other things undone. Or there would be pride in the way they did it that would undermine all that they did. But they were ignorant that God required of them perfection. And so they went about, they spent their life, spent their time going to establish their own righteousness. That was the whole idea of going to church or to synagogue or whatever. Going to the temple. To get yourself right with God. But if you're not succeeding in doing that by every trip, every visit, every Sabbath, then all that you do is meaningless. And the reason is that they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I am a sinner. Thou, Lord, art perfect. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus shows in that prayer of the two men who went up into the temple to pray that the prevailing attitude on the whole was, I give tithes, I do this, I pray regularly, I do this. I'm not like this person. Therefore being proud and therefore showing contempt for those who didn't do quite what you do. The religion was full of all these things. Smoke in the nose to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom Paul preaches and whom we preach in the same way, he is the end of the law in the sense of the fulfillment of the law to everyone that believes. So every believer looks for the righteousness of God and looks for it in Christ. He believes certain things. He believes certain things about the Lord Jesus. That he is the Son of God. That he's fully God as well as fully man. That he took human flesh. And in that human flesh, he did no sin. And in that way, he could represent humanity before God. He could represent a humanity that was sinful. Not by being himself sinful, but by being himself what humanity should have been. A perfect Saviour, in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. A sinless Saviour. And so there is the Lord Jesus. And he was sent by the Father into the world in order to deal with this whole matter of sin that was making people unrighteous. It was sin that kept them from God, and it was sin that made them understand instinctively that they couldn't ever achieve perfection. It follows if they knew that they couldn't achieve perfection and they went about going to establish their own righteousness, that they knew that they would never actually achieve it. So of course they were saying in principle, this is second best, and you've got to have it. You've got to accept it. You've got to have us. We can't do better. And that was their great error. It's even the error of certain Christians. I think this is really what the gospel standards believe. That duty faith lies in this, that you're asking Christians to do the duty of believing in God. They have no power to. But of course, the answer to that is, the Lord gives the power. His answer to the righteousness question is, I give it you in my Son. Believe in him and you shall be saved. Believe in him and the perfection that I require shall be counted to you here and actually prevail upon you when you are transferred into glory. The righteous requirement of God is perfection. Sometimes perhaps it's good to think of the old system of the judge sentencing. And unless you had a royal pardon, you couldn't be pardoned. And you lived after you'd been sentenced. If you knew that they were applying to the king for a pardon, you lived under that sentence of death, realizing the terrible nature of what you were accused of. And perhaps you hadn't done it, but there were things that gave a likelihood to it. There was enough in it just to stick a little bit until that pardon came. Sometimes the Lord puts us in that situation just to make us understand that we are guilty sinners. That we are guilty of sins. That we do deserve death. That we're not chosen through any goodness of our own. But all our goodness is through the Lord Jesus. It's mediated only through Jesus Christ. It is applied to us only through our faith. It's like laying on the hands, or laying hands on the beast. You are identified with that beast. And it stands for being identified with Christ by faith. My sins are nailed to him on the cross. My sins are therefore pardoned. Christ is the end. He is the fulfillment. It's his perfections on which we stand. For only a perfect man could represent us on the cross. And after resurrection at the throne of glory. Without that perfection, we can't be saved. But for us it's easy. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Presupposes that we know we're sinners. Presupposes that we know he's God's Son, the Saviour of whom he approves. Presupposes that we cast our all upon him and repent of our sins. But it also says that the righteousness of God that he requires is counted to those who believe in Jesus Christ. He counts us righteous, even as he counted Abraham righteous. And it's not some mystical, mythical thing. His son is righteous, and we are in him functionally by repentance. We are his. His life is in us. We belong to him. And in accepting his son, he accepts all that are in him, whom he gave to him anyway. And herein is the glad tidings. It doesn't require going up loads of steps to the Vatican and kissing every step. It doesn't require going barefoot on thorns as penance. It requires faith in the Son of the Lord Jesus, whom we read in the Gospels. We may get all our confidence in him from there. See what sort of God that he who was the perfect image of God, see what God is like for how he acted. All our confidence comes there. And so it is that our righteousness becomes his righteousness. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. And in him, the beloved Saviour, the Father accepts us as his own. It's dead easy. It was difficult for the Saviour. There's still that in us that doesn't like this doctrine. But once launch into it, once trust him, and it's so simple. The wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein, says the scripture. It is easy. But it does require, like the prodigal son, when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. That must be there. The actual going, the actual changing, the actual walking out on sinful ways and turning to the Father, that must in some form of consecration be there. But in and of itself it's easy. With the power of the Spirit carrying us on, it's easy. No such difficult task as men devise, or the which of man thinks ought to be, or the religion he invents, is necessary. Faith belief, trust in the Lord Jesus to take away your sins, whatever they are, is what is required. Plus the information that lies just behind there, that you might be saved. Christ is the fulfillment, the end of the law for righteousness, for everyone that believes. Just be certain that we believe. No, we're not seeking our own righteousness, but that we trust the Saviour. Amen.